Shalom, welcome to the Jewish Task Force, JTF. My name is Chaim Ben Pesach. This program is dedicated to a refuah shlema, complete recovery, for Sharon Katz, Shlomo Ben Sara, Malka Bat Simcha, Helen Friedman, Dorit Bat Sara, Shifra Bat Sara, and Dennis Shore, and to elevating the souls of Simcha Bat Rachel, Pesach Zeb Ben Chava, Harav Mir Kahana, Yosef Ben Meir, Bari Hoffman, Ruven Hoffman, Robert Mittman, and Sipora Fegi Bat Liba. We have two subjects that we want to discuss on this week's program. First, Donald Trump firing his national security advisor, John Bolton, which was a terrible move and a very bad sign, and his constant reaching out to Nazi Iran, his repeated expressed desire to meet with Nazi Iran and even talk about, and he didn't deny it, that he's offering to loosen the sanctions on Nazi Iran, even to loosen sanctions on them, just to get them to negotiate. So that would be very bad news, and we're not going to support him if he's going to start going down that path. The second subject that we want to discuss is the Israeli Knesset elections, which will be held this Tuesday. We're doing this show several days before the Knesset election. This Tuesday, September 17th, is the elections for the Israeli parliament, and we're going to discuss the implications of those elections. Let's start off with the Israeli elections. Let's start with that subject first. We had elections in April for the Israeli parliament, for the Israeli Knesset, and as a result of the inability of Bibi Netanyahu and the Likud to get a 61-vote majority, there are 120 members of the Knesset, and he couldn't get, and again, the Knesset is the Israeli parliament, out of the, you need a 61-vote majority because there are 120 members. And Netanyahu was unable to put together the 61 votes. In fact, he got 60 votes. He came one vote short, but because he couldn't get a majority, he could not put together a government. So we are now having elections the second time in a row in Israel this Tuesday, September 17th, something we've discussed on prior programs. And we don't have a horse in this election. JTF is not supporting anyone in this election. All the parties are bad. All the leaders are bad. Moshe Feiglin, whom we supported in the last election, unfortunately disappointed us and decided to make a deal with the Likud and with Netanyahu and is now supporting the Likud, which I think was a terrible move on his part. And we're going to discuss why. We've already discussed that on prior programs, so we're going to discuss it within the context of another party that is constantly praising the Likud. I'll explain in a moment what I mean. Feiglin has been promised by Netanyahu to be made a minister in his government, and in exchange for that, he pulled out of the race and he agreed to endorse the Likud. Very, very bad move, very disappointing move. In any event, we have people who come to us and ask us many times, why don't you support Otzma Yehudit? Otzma Yehudit, which means Jewish strength in Hebrew, is a party that sometimes claims to be a Kahanist party. And of course, JTF is a Kahanist organization. We are followers of the greatest Jewish leader in modern Jewish history, Harav Meir Kahana, Zecher Tzaddik V'Kadosh Livracha, Hashem Yikom Damo, may his memory be immortalized, and may God avenge his blood. As followers of Rabbi Kahana, people say, well, why don't you support the Kahanist party running Otzma Yehudit? And the reason we don't is because it's not a Kahanist party. It's a pseudo-Kahanist party, and it's not even a right-wing party. It's completely phony. And the people in the party are opportunists. They don't have principles. They had someone in the Knesset, Michael Ben-Ari. He actually served in the Knesset for several years. And he never once did anything, didn't do one thing to further a Kahanist agenda or the Kahanist principles of encouraging the Arabs to leave Israel and the various other things that are essential for the survival of Israel. He never once furthered that agenda and didn't accomplish anything in the time he was in the Knesset. And now we have Itamar Ben-Gvir, an attorney who is the head of the party, and he's running. And Itamar Ben-Gvir says in his interviews He says, Ani ohev umarich et Binyamin Netanyahu, et Rosh Memshelet Yisrael Binyamin Netanyahu, which means, let me translate what that means. He says, I love and admire Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. I love and admire him. That's the quote. Love and he says he loves and admires Netanyahu. He loves and admires Netanyahu, and he calls himself a Kahanist. This is supposed to be a Kahanist party, and he loves and admires Netanyahu. Let me tell you why this is so harmful. Because Netanyahu is a terrible, evil leader who has done terrible things to the Jewish people. And we're going to get into some of them in a couple of minutes. But when you have someone who pretends to be a Kahanist supporting Netanyahu and saying he loves and admires him and saying we have to back up Netanyahu's right-wing government and keeps calling Netanyahu right-wing when in fact Netanyahu is left-wing. When you have someone who calls himself a Kahanist doing this, that's a complete distortion of Kahanism. That means that the people of Israel, because of this, do not know what real Kahanism is. They do not get a true picture of what Kahanism really would offer the people of Israel. There are solutions to all of the problems that afflict Israel. There are solutions that could bring us final redemption, Geulah Shlema, final redemption for Israel and for the Jewish people and for the world. Those solutions are the Kahanist solutions, the solutions that our great beloved Rabbi Kahana told us about in his lifetime. But those solutions will never, never even be spoken about if we're going to have people who call themselves Kahanists saying that no, the Likud and Netanyahu are fine, that they're good right-wing leaders, and we admire and love them. If you don't resist Netanyahu and his policies, if you don't resist somebody who hugged Yasser Arafat, the Arab Hitler, who murdered Yasser Arafat, the Arab Hitler, murdered 2,000 Jews. Yasser Arafat, the Arab Hitler, murdered more Jews than any other Jew killer since Adolf Hitler, since the Holocaust. Yasser Arafat, the Arab Hitler, always spoke about pushing the Jews into the sea and exterminating Israel and exterminating the Jewish people. And Bibi Netanyahu, the first thing he did when he got elected in 1996 already, he hugged Arafat. He met with him repeatedly. And he said he found a new friend in Arafat. Bibi Netanyahu gave Arafat 97% of Hebron. Hebron is the second holiest city in the world after Jerusalem. It's a city of our forefathers. It's a city where we have Me'erat HaMachpelah, the cave of the patriarchs, where our forefathers are buried. It's a city where David HaMelech, King David, first established his kingdom. For the first 7 years of his kingdom, he was in Hebron. The last 33 years, he moved to Jerusalem. But Hebron is the second holiest city in the world. It is a city of immense importance, vital importance to the Jewish people. And Netanyahu gave 97% of Hebron to Arafat and to the Arab terrorists. He gave another 13% of Judea and Samaria. Judea and Samaria, Yehuda v'Shomron, Judea and Samaria, are the biblical heartland of Israel. Netanyahu transferred 13% of that over to Arafat and the Arab terrorists and the PLO terrorists. Netanyahu is the one who made a speech saying that he now favors a so-called two-state solution. In other words, creating a so-called Palestinian state, even though there is no Palestine and there are no Palestinians. That's an Arab bluff and an Arab lie and a hoax. But Netanyahu offered to create a so-called Palestinian state. And he does want to create a Palestinian state. He wants to do that. Which would mean that Israel would go back essentially to the pre-1967 borders that are suicide borders that are only 6 to 9 miles wide. Netanyahu released thousands of Arab terrorist mass murderers from Israeli prisons. It's bad enough that these Arab terrorists are allowed to live. I mean, these are Arab terrorists that want to slaughter the Jewish people, that have murdered Jews, that have Jewish blood on their hands. It's bad enough. I mean, they should all be, they all of them should automatically be executed. And Netanyahu not only doesn't execute them, he releases them, completely releases them after they spend a couple of years in Israeli prisons. And he, under Netanyahu, Israeli prisons have turned into hotels, into country, they're like country clubs. The Arabs are fed better and taken and receive better care. Better care. They receive better living conditions and better food in Israeli prisons than they have when they're free. Something which doesn't happen for Jewish prisoners, of course. Netanyahu is a vile person. He was the finance minister who financed the expulsion of 10,000 Jews from Gush Katif, where 40 flourishing Jewish communities were destroyed. And it was handed over to the Hamas terrorists in Gaza, who are now firing missiles and burning and setting fires all over southern Israel and central Israel. Now their missiles are, and their fires are going into central Israel as well. Netanyahu is the prime minister who has not taken military action against Iran, and therefore Iran is on the road to building nuclear bombs, God forbid, thanks to Netanyahu. Thanks to him. He's responsible. He's guilty. And he's guilty for allowing Iran's allies, Hezbollah, the Hezbollah terrorists in the north of Israel, to have 200,000 missiles pointed at Israeli cities and towns. 200,000 missiles on Israel's northern border. You can imagine what that could lead to in a war. What type of death and destruction, God forbid, that could lead to in a war. And how did Hezbollah do it? Because Netanyahu allowed them to build this up. Israel has the military capability to take care of all of these enemies. But Netanyahu has allowed this situation to get out of hand because he's a coward and a fraud. And Itamar Ben-Gvir, who says he's a Kahanist, not just a right winger, but a Kahanist, says he loves and admires a leader like Netanyahu and wants him to be prime minister and wants to support him. That's Kahanism? That's what he's offering the people of Israel as a solution? That's his solution, Netanyahu? And he's also praised Rafi Peretz and Ayelet Shaked, Naftali Bennett. Naftali Bennett, whom he praised repeatedly, said that the Jews in Tag Mechir, the Jewish kids who are part of Tag Mechir, should get the death penalty. These are Jewish kids who, because the Israeli government does not defend its Jewish citizens, the Israeli government allows its Jewish citizens to be brutally murdered by Arab terrorists and does nothing to defend them, and releases the Arab terrorists from prison, you have a group called, an underground group called Tag Mechir, of Jewish kids, basically, who have decided to strike back at the Arab terrorists. And usually what they do is just graffiti. But Naftali Bennett said that they should get the death penalty. This filthy traitor, yimach shmo v'zichro. He said that the Jewish kids in Tag Mechir should get the death penalty. And Itamar Ben-Gvir wanted to run with Naftali Bennett and praised him. Praised Ayelet Shaked. Under Ayelet Shaked and Naftali Bennett, when they were in power, Ayelet Shaked was the so-called justice minister of Israel. Dozens of Jewish kids were arrested, were rounded up and arrested, and were tortured by the Shabak. The Shabak is the Israeli KGB. They tortured them. Something which they put them through torture, which they would not do to Arab terrorists. They treat Arab terrorists, mass murderers, better than they treat Jewish kids who love the state of Israel and love the Jewish people. That is the Israel that Itamar Ben-Gvir says he loves and admires when he says that he loves and admires Shaked, Bennett, Peretz, Rafi Peretz, Netanyahu. So no one is bringing the truth now to the people of Israel. JTF is the only voice now out there that can do this. We're the only ones that will do it. We've become more important than ever. And we intend to do whatever we can to bring the truth to the people of Israel. We, as you know, we had an advertising campaign for our videos. Over 1 million views in the past 6 months, over 1 million views on our videos in a country of 6 million Israeli Jews because of our advertising campaign. So we reached a decent segment of the Jews in Israel. We've got to reach far more, though, and it's got to be far more frequently. Because if they see one of my videos where I'm speaking into the camera like I'm doing with you now, over 1 million Israeli Jews saw me doing this in Hebrew. But I have to do it. It's much shorter. The videos in Hebrew are much shorter because it's like a commercial. It's like an ad. And so if they see these ads with me speaking and they see, let's say a 2 minute JTF ad, it's very hard for them. If they see one 2 minute JTF ad, for that 2 minutes to erase a lifetime of brainwashing, that's very hard to do. We've got to bring them these ads and these videos more than ever, at a greater pace than ever. We've got to do that. And we're putting together plans to try to wake the people of Israel up, to try our best to do that. But we've become the voice of truth now because no one else is bringing the truth to the people of Israel. We've become pretty much the last address for the truth. And I'm very sorry to say that. I'm very sorry to say that because I wish there were others. But someday there will be, because the prophets, HaNeviim, the prophets in the Bible and everyone else tell us that this will be a terrible generation when the Jews come back to Israel. Jews come back to Israel in the end of days, which is what we have now. This will be a terrible period for the Jews. Terrible generation. Very evil. Very evil. There'll be almost no voices of truth, which is exactly what we see playing out. But eventually the Jews of Israel will wake up. Something will happen and the Jews of Israel will wake up and this will turn around. The situation will turn around. Not all the Jews of Israel will wake up. You'll have evil people that will continue to be evil. And of course, they will be destroyed and they'll have no place in the next world. The next world being the world of eternal life. But a lot of the Jews of Israel will turn around. It'll be enough to bring final redemption. That will yet come. That day will yet come. I don't know. I'm going to be 63 years old in a couple of months. So I don't know if I'll live to see it. I probably won't live to see that day. But we got to prepare the way. We've got to pave the road for that and prepare the way for that. And we also want to prevent Israel from having to have terrible suffering until that day comes. A lot of death and destruction, God forbid, and a lot of suffering. We want to prevent that from happening. We want to protect our fellow Jews and want to protect Israel as much as possible, even though the leaders of Israel aren't protecting Israel. We have a job to step in and do whatever we can, despite the odds, despite how difficult it is, despite that everybody else is saying things that are wrong and evil and hypocritical and corrupt. We've got to step in and we've got to do what's right. And we've got to be willing to say things that are unpopular. And we've got to be willing to say we're not politicians. So we're not interested in winning popularity contests. We're interested in telling the truth. We're interested in justice and righteousness and truth. And if it makes us unpopular, then so be it. But we're going to tell the truth. That's our job. That's why we're in this world. That's something Ben-Gvir and Feiglin and others are not willing to do. Feiglin, to a certain degree, did it on some issues. He did tell the truth on a lot of issues. That's why we supported him. And I don't regret the campaign we had. We had a campaign where we did a lot of advertising because we got our issues across. We did get our issues across in that campaign. At least the people of Israel were exposed to someone saying things that they never hear anywhere else from our commercials. But we got to do that on a greater scale. And it's got to be done continuously. And it's going to be an all-out battle to try to wake people up before it's too late. And again, remember, eventually they will wake up. Eventually. We'd like it to happen before they're forced to wake up through terrible tragedy. They could wake up by terrible catastrophes that will force them to wake up. We don't want that. We don't want them to have pain and suffering and death and destruction. We don't want terrible things to happen to the Jewish people. We don't want it to happen that way. That's why we're doing everything we can to wake them up the other way, where they themselves wake up before it's too late, before God has to force them to see the light through punishment and through catastrophe, God forbid. So that's the job we have here. That's the job in Israel. There's going to be an election on Tuesday, and we'll see what happens. And I can't say that we're sitting around biting our nails because we don't support anybody in the election anyway. So we'll see what happens. We will see what happens after the election, and we'll be ready to do whatever we can to try to tell the truth. To try to tell the truth that others are not willing to tell. Even though they know that we're right. They know what we're saying is true, but they're not willing to do it. They're not willing to do it. The second issue we want to bring up here involves Donald Trump. Now, you know that I can't stand Donald Trump. And it's just unbelievable that you Trumpsters never learn you're hopeless. Yes, we probably will support him for re-election because the Democrats running against him are even worse. So we're going to support him for re-election, it looks like. Unless he pulls some really bad surprises on us, and I'm going to discuss a couple of those possibilities in a moment. But we probably will support him for re-election, but he is a terrible president. And he is a complete joke, a complete clown. He's an ignoramus beyond words. To have him as president should be the biggest embarrassment the American people have ever had. He is a complete moron who knows nothing about policy, knows nothing about the world. He just wants to do real estate deals. He wasn't very good in that either. But he just wants to do real estate deals with the dictators of Iran and the monster in North Korea who murdered 2 million of his own people, who starves his own people to death. He perpetrated a Holocaust against his own people. 2 million people in North Korea have died of starvation because of this monster in North Korea, Kim, that Trump says he likes, and he says he has a lot in common with him, and he meets with him, and he likes him. And Kim is building more and more nuclear bombs and spreading it all over the world. And Trump keeps meeting with him and negotiating with him and making nice to him. And Trump wants to do the same thing with Iran. He wants to do the same thing with Nazi Iran. He keeps saying how much he wants to meet with Rouhani, the so-called president of Iran. He's not the real leader of Iran, but he's the figurehead president who does what the Iranian terrorist regime, of course, tells him to do. He's their public relations face to the world. And Trump so much wants to meet with him and wants to negotiate with him and wants to, the same joke that he's carrying on with North Korea or with Vladimir Putin of Russia, he wants to do that with Iran now. And he even wants to offer them loosening the sanctions, even the sanctions on Iran. The United States, instead of sanctions, the United States should send in the U.S. Air Force and flatten all of Iran's facilities that are being used to build nuclear bombs before it's too late, before they can build nuclear bombs. That's what the United States should be doing. But instead of doing that, and that, by the way, could take 1 or 2 days, you give me that air power in one day, that problem would be solved. 1 day, without losing a single plane, without losing a single American. Without losing a single American life. But instead of doing that, what is Trump doing? He fires John Bolton, his national security advisor, because John Bolton favored an attack on Iran and favored tough policies toward Iran. It was against this insane desire of Trump to negotiate with all these Hitlers, the North Korean Hitler, the Iranian Hitler, the Russian Hitler, Vladimir Putin. John Bolton on Iran understood whom he's dealing with. Now, I don't agree with Bolton about regime change. The United States should not send the army in and occupy countries. The Iraq war was a disaster, and we in JTF opposed the Iraq war from the beginning when 90% of the American people supported it. Again, we were the only voice of truth at that time. We said, you're attacking the wrong country. Instead of Iraq, it should be Iran. And you shouldn't be occupying, not Iraq, not Iran, not any country. You don't occupy a country. You just go in from the air and bomb them and destroy the facilities that they have, the factories, the laboratories, the reactors that they have that endanger the United States and that endanger the Western world. That's what you do. Just like the Israelis did with Saddam Hussein's nuclear program in 1981. Or the way the Israelis did in 2006 with the Syrian nuclear program. The Israelis sent in the Air Force, destroyed it, and that was the end of that. Over a few hours, it was over. If little Israel can do it, the United States, big superpower like the United States, can certainly do it easily. Also in a few hours, or at the most a day or two. By the way, the Israelis didn't lose a single soldier, a single pilot, a single plane. And they eliminated a threat that could have led to a nuclear holocaust. Now they're not doing it because the United States has told them not to do it. Successive administrations, and now, well, not only that, they've got Pipi Netanyahu, Bibi Pipi, who's such a coward, he would never do it anyway. He would never do it even if he had a president who told him to do it. He would never do it. But anyway, this is the situation that we're in now, where Trump desperately wants to open negotiations up with Iran, like he's doing with North Korea. And again, willing to loosen sanctions just at a time when the Iranian economy is suffering. Trump did slap slapped the original sanctions on Iran again. He put sanctions back on Iran that the Muslim anti-Semite Barack Hussein Obama, Yimach Shmo V'Zichro, had taken off. Obama, Yimach Shmo V'Zichro, removed the sanctions and was giving Iran hundreds of billions of dollars, buying their oil and giving them allowing the whole world to buy their oil. They got hundreds of billions of dollars from Obama, because of Obama. And John Kerry, that animal whose father's real name was Cohen, and because of that vicious, ugly self-hatred, he wants to destroy the Jewish people because he's so ashamed and so filled with self-hatred over his father's Jewish heritage. And so Obama and Kerry, they opened the door to Iran getting everything. Trump did. Finally, after 2 years, he finally pulled out of the Iran agreement. That was 2 years too late, but he finally pulled out and finally started putting sanctions on again, and it's having an effect. But he wants now to loosen even the sanctions. Be a terrible, terrible thing. And if he goes down the path of trying to help Iran and build up their economy and enable them to build nuclear bombs like Obama was doing, if he goes down that path, we're not going to support him. That's it. We're not going to support him if he's going to go down that path. France, Britain, and Germany now are offering Iran $15 billion to enter into negotiations. They're saying, oh, we'll give you $15 billion if you negotiate with us, if you have negotiations. And Trump apparently supports that offer. What a disaster. This is why we wanted Ted Cruz as president. He would have taken, this problem would have been over with. In the beginning of the Cruz administration, he would have taken care of this. He would have sent in the Air Force. That would be the end of it. But you wanted Trump. By the way, guess what? As far as the border is concerned, did you know that border crossings are down? That the numbers of illegals coming to the United States is way down? You know why? Because Trump appointed a Cruz guy to be the head of Homeland Security. He appointed a Cruz guy. And because of that, finally you got somebody who's finally doing something on the book. Because before then, border crossings were higher than they were under Obama. By chance, Trump decided to appoint a Cruz guy. What was his name? The guy who ran for governor of Virginia, Italian-American, a great guy. Italian-American, he was a Republican candidate for governor of Virginia. A Cruz guy all the way, a very loyal Cruz guy. And like the Cruz people, this is a tough guy. This is a guy who has started cracking down. And so finally, border crossings. I'm sorry that I didn't write down his name over here so that I don't remember what his name is, but it's Italian-American. He ran for governor of Virginia. A good guy. And so he finally has created a situation where finally there's a crackdown at the border. Before then, nobody could do anything. The border crossings were higher and there was a crisis. You remember all that? This Cruz guy put an end to that. And the border crossings are way down now. It's just a little sample of what could have been if you had a real conservative and a moral Bible-believing person in the White House, like Ted Cruz, instead of this orange slime. And yes, unfortunately, as I've repeated a million times, as bad as Trump is, to show you what a world we live in, we're probably going to have to support him and do everything we can to reelect him. Because if you saw that Democrat debate, I didn't watch I only saw a couple of highlights from the debate, a couple of minutes here and there, because I can't watch. It's so boring. They are so boring and they're so uninspiring and they're such low-life communist filth in the Democrat Party. I can't even watch it. But people like Elizabeth Warren and these other people running, these are very dangerous people. These are very dangerous people. They would be terrible for Israel. They'd be terrible for America. They'd be terrible for the world. And so we can't afford to have them get elected. That's the one blessing Trump has. His opponents are so terrible that people like us have to support him just because his opponents are even worse than he is. But that doesn't mean that he's not bad. He's also bad. Unfortunately, we got to support him anyway. On Tuesday, we're going to have the elections in Israel. Trump is saying shortly after that he's going to release his Mideast plan. So we're going to know what that involves. And again, if that's something that really endangers Israel, all bets are off. We won't support him. If that happens, if he's endangering Israel, you know we're not going to support someone who endangers Israel. So we're going to see what happens after the election. We're going to see what happens in terms of a new Israeli government. And we're going to see what Trump's so-called Middle East plan is like. We're going to see what he does with Iran. We're going to have some important critical decisions that are going to be made in the next few weeks. And JTF will be there to try to influence things as best we can. Remember, we got a lot of views also for our English videos when we ran the campaign on behalf of Ted Cruz, Jews for Cruz, and when we ran the campaign. We got videos out there, single videos with hundreds of thousands of views. We got videos for Cruz that one of them I think has 250,000 views or something like that. Another one has over 100,000. We got views. We got a lot of views on our videos and our English language campaign as well. So when we run the presidential campaigns, we sometimes can have an impact if it's a close election. So we're going to see what happens, and we're going to do everything we can. And again, if you are a person that wants to go with the flow and do whatever is popular, JTF is not going to be the organization you're going to want to support then, because we want to be popular. Don't get me wrong. I want to be very popular. I want everybody to love me. I want to be very popular. But not at the expense of my principles. Never at the expense of my principles, God forbid. And so I'm usually not popular because I usually go against the grain and swim against the tide and say things that others won't say. That usually means I'm not popular. So be it. We're going to stand for the truth and fight for the truth, and someday truth and justice and righteousness will prevail. Hashem, God, has promised us that. For JTF, until next week, this is Chaim Ben Pesach. Shalom.